Good evening.
Good evening. So today, here in our midweek service, we're finally getting back to Romans. We've had some missed weeks, whether due to having meetings out of town or whatever it may be. It's been a while, I think. I don't remember exactly when we did Romans chapter 3, but today we will be in Romans chapter 4 in our series on Romans. In Romans chapter 3, which is just this beautiful theological chapter, it just a beautiful chapter. God's judgment, Paul telling us that all have sinned, and he ends with God's righteousness through faith. That we are justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Let me read chapter 3, beginning of verse 29 here, just to kind of set the stage for chapter 4. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. You know, at this time, there was kind of a back and forth. For Gentiles to be saved, do they first need to become Jews? Because there were some that believed that the salvation obtained through Christ on the cross was only for the Jews. But Paul is here saying, no, it's for the Jew and the Gentile, for the circumcised and the uncircumcised. We also see, and this is an error that we see in even churches today, where, oh, well, God was different in the Old Testament, right? And in the Old Testament, it was the works of the law that saved you. Well, the works of the law never saved anyone, not even in the Old Testament. And in chapter 4, Paul makes this clear. Now he gives us two witnesses from Old Testament scripture. You know, scripture tells us that for anything that is truth, any truth from God, that there will be two or more witnesses, right? So he provides for us two witnesses, and the first being Abraham. Verse 1, chapter 4, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh, meaning his works? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. We've all known people who look at all these, this great thing that I did. Look at this amazing thing that I did. Well, they have their reward here on earth if this amazing thing that they have done is something that they have boasted about. But no matter what great things you do, the good works that you do, it ultimately is irrelevant. You do them because you are conformed to the image of Christ. It is because you love as God loves, and you wish to do the will of God, not because it somehow saves you. Paul goes a bit deeper here, because if Abraham is not saved by his works, and the law doesn't save, then was Abraham saved? Is Abraham going to be in heaven? A question I've heard from many babes in Christ is, okay, well, what happened to all the Jews and the Gentiles before Jesus came? Before Jesus died? Are they just all in hell? Some, yes. But not all of them. Because here we have this principle of being saved by faith. Being justified by faith. It says here, Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. His belief, his faith, was counted for him as righteousness. Not anything that he had done here. This kind of goes both ways. Your deeds on earth, there's no deed so bad that you cannot be saved, and there's no deed so good that it can bridge that gap. It's not that your deeds are irrelevant, it's just that your deeds do not save you. We're justified by faith. And going all the way back to Abraham here, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Wow. The wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. That's pretty profound. To debt. If you abide to the 613 Levitical laws, it's a debt. Well, what the law really does is that it doesn't save you from your sins, and abiding by that law will not bring about any measure of righteousness good enough to save you, but it will expose sin in your life. It will do that. The moral law will expose the sin in your life and in the lives of those around you. Beginning in verse 5, now Paul gives us that second witness. David celebrates the same truth. In verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Verse 7 and 8, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Paul then takes this further in verse 9. The question here is Abraham, was he justified before circumcision? Yes. The circumcision was not what justified him. Not even that. Circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Now see, there are six major covenants. Our first covenant is the Abrahamic, or the Adamic, or Adam, the covenant with Adam. That's that first covenant. The second major, there's more covenants than this, but these are the major ones. The second major covenant, then, is with Abraham. The third is the covenant with Moses, and then David. Right? The last of these covenants is the new and everlasting covenant of Jesus Christ shed there on the cross. And every covenant comes with a sign. The covenant with Noah after Abraham. No, before Abraham. I'm getting all mixed up today. The covenant of Noah, the Noahic covenant, the seal, that sign, is the rainbow, which, of course, the enemy of God and man has taken and twisted its meaning. The sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision. That was the sign or the seal. The new and everlasting covenant, the sign and seal, is baptism. That is the sign and the seal of the new and everlasting covenant. So, salvation here for Abraham came not from the circumcision. That was just simply the seal of it. The salvation of Abraham came by his faith. Verse 9, Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For circumcised only, or, well, I read that twice. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while circumcised, period. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also who walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. We Gentile believers have been grafted into the vine of Abraham, making Abraham also our father through the faith. We are adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. Children of the promise, we are told in Scripture. The promise granted through faith, we see in verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, it's this inclusion here, not just of the Jew, but also of the Gentile believer. Not through blood, as Paul has made clear. It's not through the inheritance of genealogies, but through the inheritance of faith. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. See, it's not this salvation is reserved only for the direct genetic descendants of Abraham, but it is through faith. It is that faith that binds us. It was Abraham's faith, his belief in God, where that was attributed to him as righteousness. So too it is when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, as we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. There's no amount of works that you and I can do to save us. There was no amount of works that Abraham could do. And let us not forget, Abraham preceded the law of Moses. So the law of Moses was not yet written. The moral law, however, was already written in our hearts. Scripture also tells us this. That's why no one has any excuse. It's written on our hearts. Verse Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. God gave him a promise, and he believed, and he held fast to it. For many years he did, in fact. I've said so many times, I said this, I think, on Sunday sermon, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's also faithful to fulfill all of his promises that he's made to you. He is faithful to deliver us. He's faithful to heal us, to comfort us. We can trust in God, amen?
Amen.
And that is that type of faith that Abraham had that was accounted to him as righteousness. He was saved by faith. We finish now with verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So Paul has this, he begins here in chapter 3 addressing the question, is salvation for the Jews alone? No. Salvation is for all who believe. Anyone who has a question of or false belief that somehow God operated differently, almost as if he was an entirely different God in the Old Testament, go to Romans chapter 4, because that is not what Scripture tells us. Abraham himself, he was not justified through the circumcision. He was justified and seen as righteous before God because of his faith. Jesus Christ being our propitiation, that is the appeasement of the wrath of God, he who was without sin, who became sin, he carried upon his shoulders the sin of the whole world. The wrath of God meant for each and every one of us was poured out on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that day. The wrath that we all deserve. And God's grace is offered to all who would believe and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, who died on the cross, was buried, in 3 days he rose from the dead, and then he ascended unto heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God and will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. If you have faith in Jesus Christ. Paul later in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul lays that out. Of course, we're going to go really deep when we get to that chapter. But Paul, in Romans chapter 10, let me just read that. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, just like Abraham, right? It is with the heart that one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's faith. faith alone. So this specific sermon is addressing one of the five solas, is it not? Faith alone. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. Not your glory, because it's not your works, it's his work on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
It is therefore to the glory of God alone. The traditions of men, even Christ himself rejected the traditions of men, so too shall we. Everything needs to be weighed to the word of God. And when the traditions of men say, it is faith plus, you need faith, and this step and this step and this step, you should reject it. You must reject it. Abraham was not required of any works for him to be justified, and neither is it for you. It is faith. Justification by faith.
Amen.
I will close with this. That actually would have been a really good theatrical ending, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would have been a really good time to go, boop, done, it's a wrap. Okay, well, I'm going to keep going just a little bit. Bear with me now, don't throw nothing at me. So often, we see where professed believers in church will hold for themselves, this is something I have heavy I've been carrying on my heart. They demand for themselves grace. You must forgive me. I think I even talked about this on Sunday. You must forgive me, you're a Christian. You have to forgive me. You don't have a choice, you have to forgive me, you're a Christian. But they will judge everyone else. They put everyone else under the law. They'll point the finger, but if ever the finger is pointed back at them, it's, well, you gotta forgive me. Grace for me, but law for thee. And this is a problem that churches have seen since the building of the first church. Right? This isn't a new, Christians have been dealing with this in their own congregations, in their own families, for as long as there have been Christians. It's grace for everyone. The idea here is that those who are all grace for themselves and law for others, it's not to put them under the law. It is, we need to take the example of Jesus Christ in regards to false righteousness and self-righteousness, and because that's really what's at the root there. We need to love them. We need to love them. Love is the answer. A loving response. You got a brother or sister in your church that's just a gossip? Tell them there ain't no room for that. With all due respect, with all love, you're my brother in Christ or you're my sister in Christ. We don't need to be talking like that. We don't need to be gossiping about one another. You're like, when it's pointed out the misdeeds of all others, but they're always making excuses for themselves, we need to pray for them. We need to pray. And I ask that you all pray for me. Because again, it's not faith plus a list of boxes that have to be checked. It's just faith. God has forgiven you. God has given you a great degree of grace and mercy. And we are to give that same grace and mercy to others. And some of this I'm saying to myself here too, right? It's human nature to get angry. It's even human nature to hold a grudge. I've been wronged. Everyone here has been wronged in some way, at some point in their life, possibly continually in their life, possibly right now in this very moment. I hope not by me. If so, I apologize. Please forgive me if I've wronged you in some way. Grace. We need to give grace. We're told by James that faith without works is dead. And what he means is not the works of the law, but of good works. And it is through our good works that the evidence of our salvation is seen. So we recognize, this will be my close, we recognize that Abraham was saved by his faith. David was saved by his faith. We are saved by the grace of God through faith, our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, faith alone, of no works. Likewise, we should not require for our forgiveness to others some deed. To forgive another person for how they have wronged us should not require that from us to them that they accomplish something or that they somehow make some atonement. Now you can, the grievance may be so bad and their behavior that never changes because it is abusive might somehow necessitate a separation. That can happen. You can separate yourself from someone and love them and forgive them. If we would only begin to walk a life of love and mercy and grace to the same measure that has been given to us as an example to the world, as the answer to the world, that becomes infectious. Others see it. They experience it, they see it, and then they begin to be conformed themselves. Oh, I think I could go on for another hour maybe on this. I'm going to go ahead and close. So, Abraham is justified by faith. David was justified by faith. You are justified by faith. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving. We lift your name up on high, O God. We pray that you minister to our hearts and you spread this message far and wide. Be with each and every one of us as we go our separate ways and bring us back together again next week. We praise you, O Lord, for you alone are holy and righteous. You alone are worthy, for you alone are God. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.